Okay, this week's parasha, there's of course a lot going on in the parasha, parasha's Vayeshev. And what I'd like to focus on in the Mechira of Yosef, the brothers selling Yosef. And this is based on the Rav Shlomo Shradron Zatzal. So he said that, first of all, I mean, it's titled the Mechira Yosef, Emuna Umidas, faith and Midas. And the basic understanding is going to be twofold. Number one, that the brothers were not what the Torah portrays, that it was the kina, the jealousy that was created through the Ketores Pasim that caused the brothers to sell Yosef. And Shlomo Shadron develops an idea that that's not necessarily the case, that the midos of the brothers was exemplary, and their midos were perfect, but that's number one. But number two, the emuna shebo, the emuna was that there was basically no bechira on behalf of the brothers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that this is the way it was going to happen, and therefore it was just the playing out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's script. So, for starters, Yesh Lehavin, he says, what's the pshat that when the brothers met up with Yosef out in the field, that they took off his ketones pasim, right? So we would think that it was because the Ketones Pasim was the source of the jealousy. So that's the first thing they did, was rip it off. So Rav Shlomo Shadron brings from somebody, the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that two people come to judgment, and one person is wearing like rags, and one person wearing something very expensive. What do? You tell the person who's wearing the beautiful clothing to take it off and put on rags like everybody else. It's a halacha. So therefore, why did they rip off the Ketones Pasim? Not because they were jealous of him, just because they had to don, they had to judge him. They had to judge him to see if he was Morib Malchus, to judge him, to see if he was Chayav Misa. But not because that they were getting rid of the source of jealousy, but because they were actually giving him a proper mishpat. And to give proper mishpat, you put everybody on the same level with the same clothes. What a tremendous approach and understanding that they were really just following halacha and not necessarily. And it wasn't necessarily a manifestation of their jealousy for him. Also, if you notice, that it speaks about the jealousy of the brothers in the beginning of the parasha, but in the parasha of the Mechiras Yosef, it doesn't say one word about kina. It's not discussed. And Rav Shlomo Shadron is medayik, you see from here, that the kina was not related to the Mechiras of Yosef. It was totally mishpat-oriented, and, They judged him, but the selling of him, we'll see soon, was not really caused by the by those jealousy that they had. Fine. Also, the reason why it's called the chet for the brothers was because we know that tzaddikim are judged kechut hasayra. The judgment against tzaddikim is very meticulous. So even though essentially there was no wrongdoing on the behalf of the brothers, the slightest bit of wrongdoing is by tzaddikim is considered a chet, even though clearly they were not necessarily at fault. Let me just see if I can quote you one line over here. Fine, Mesedim. Now, the Ramban is a very, very big part of this yisod, and I'm going to quote the Ramban. And they found the man, and the pasuk discusses how he finds the man. And he finds his brothers. What's this coming to teach me? Ode ki agzer emes v'acharit zasheker ki zimin lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu moir derech shelo midai to lahaviyo biyadam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu set up somebody to show Yosef where to go and to bring him to their hands. Shelo achinom hayakol asipur hazeh. These are major words of the Ramban. That what? This is not for naught. The whole story about him finding the man on the way, it's not l'chinam. Elo hodienu, ki atzas Hashem hitakum, like the apostle could say in Davening from Tehillim, Rabbi Osmach Shalom's belief is, atzas Hashem hitakum, that is all the advice of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was going to prevail. And when you think about it, it wasn't necessarily, like I just said, the feelings of jealousy of the brothers, but rather, it was a kiyum, because we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Kigeri yezaracha, beretzol lohem." This is all part of the big picture of the setup to send Yosef down to Mitzrayim. And the Medrash says as follows. Medrash Tanhuma says as follows. It says, "Amri Shuvin Karacha, Afan Arosh Atum Mevi Alilah Es At Mevion." So they saw that their brother, that the father loved their brother. Right, the tongue of Argamon, through the Ketonis Pasim, they went down to Mitzrayim. So what was happening over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that Yaakov would love Yosef more. He would give him the Ketonis Pasim. In order that would, again, slight jealousy, but that wasn't the exact, the precise impetus. But basically the whole story was just that Yosef should go to Mitzrayim and be the viceroy and help out his brothers and his family when they come down to Mitzrayim later in the famine. Vamar Yudin, Haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevakesh L'Kayim Gzeiros, Yudu Ateda. He brought about all these feelings of Yaakov and Yosef of love in order that would be the impetus for going down to Mitzrayim. So that the brothers should hate him and that the Yishmael should sell him. So what the Medrash is telling us is very clearly is that the entire story was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not based on feelings. And the Medrash quotes the following pasuk: "Ukshirasisa natata believim la'elv." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, he places his love in somebody's heart. "Ukshirasisa la'seth believim the snow." When he wants to, he places his hatred in the heart. So we see from here that, to a certain extent, that a person, yes, a person certainly has to work on his midos and love of people and not hate anybody. But in a certain way, there are certain times when the Kodesh Baruch Hu sort of plants feelings by people. Says the Ramban, the Deacon Ramban, Ki kol ikar ma'isa hashvatim nasa shalob b'chirosim v'klav ikar. It had nothing to do with free choice. Nothing to do with free choice. It was all gzeirah min hashamayim. And so the question is, we know that there's punishment. It's called a chait. We know the harugei malchus. So we have to get some sort of havana into what went wrong over here and why were the brothers even slightly culpable for what they did. So the pasuk tells us in Amos, "Al shloshet pshay Yisrael," on three iniquities Yisrael got punished. And the language of the pasuk is "Al mochrom bekesef tzaddik," because they sold the tzaddik for money. So Rav Shlomo Sojourner is medayik that what was the problem? They sold Yosef for money. Mashma, that what? Had they sent him off as an eved, as a slave to the Ishmaelim for free, it wouldn't have been a problem. So, but nevertheless, as he brings down sources, I believe, where he says that you wouldn't want Yosef to feel like a fool. Ah, you're such a nothing that we even gave you away for free. So, okay, consider. So then it says, then he says that no, that what's the pshat? They were willing to give him for 20 shkolin, right? They were willing to give him for 20 shkolin. What happened was afterwards, then he went out of the boar, and then the Ishmaelim came, and they said, no, we want shoes. We want shoes. So all 10 brothers got shoes, right? So, and that's, and actually, it's a diuk in the pasuk in Amos. What does it say? It says in the pasuk, al mochrom bekesef tzaddik, ve'evyon, ba'avur na'alayim, for the shoes. So what was the real problem? What was the real avera of the brothers? The shoes. But it said b'kesef. So says of Shalom Shadron, the diuk is like this, that since they were willing to also ask for shoes from the Ishmaelim, that showed that even the 20 kesef was for their own benefit. So you see, what was their problem? The problem wasn't getting rid of him. That was part of the plan. The problem was they sold them for money. Ibe, you want to tell me? They sold them for money so they didn't feel like a loser, that he was actually sold for something? No, the fact that they asked for the shoes in addition to the money showed that the money was also for their own. And he makes another amazing deal. He says like this, he says, we know that Reuven took him out of the boar, right? So if Reuven took him out of the boar, and that means, and he tried to save him, so, and he wasn't necessarily involved in the selling of Yosef, so why are there Hasara Harugei Malchus? There should be 9 Harugei Malchus. Reuven should have been a hero. There should be 9 Harugei Malchus. The answer is because there were 10 shoes that were given. Even Reuven took a pair of shoes from the Ishmaelim to show that he was also part of it. Since he took the shoes, therefore he's also doing it for his own benefit, so to speak. And that's why there are Asar Malchus and not 9. But so what you see here is a very, very powerful yisod. So first of all, I think it clarifies that this image that we have in our mind, I think the major diuk is, the first point is, that the image that we have in our mind is that these brothers were seething with jealousy over the Ketonis Pasim, And that's why it was their midos, their terrible midos, that caused them to sell Yosef. That's how they. So we see over here is not true. They took over the Kedoshah Pasim right away, number one, because that was a way of giving proper judgment, number one. Number two, the fact that the kina is not mentioned by the Mechira. It doesn't say the word kina in the Torah by the Mechira. It only says it in the beginning. It's masmur that it's not unrelated. And this whole Yisod, and why were they punished? They're only punished because that the Pasuk in Amos says very clearly, Al mochrim bekesef tzadik ve'evyon, bavur na'alayim. They sold them for money, and they got these shoes. You see from here, wasn't stam that they were punished for actually selling him. That's not the problem. The problem was that they were looking to get personal benefit through the shoes, which is revealed to us. Even the money was personal benefit in the chira. But the bottom line was this is all part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan for the kiyum of Geriyah Zarach of Eretz Olahem. And I think this is a very important message for today's times. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish running the show to the T. There's nothing that happens in this world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see such a, what seems to be a very a subjective and personal story between the brothers and Yosef. And anybody reading the story would say, oh, this is all about the brothers and Yosef. And it's all about their feelings and their emotions. But the Midrash are telling us, Chazal are telling us, absolutely not. It's all an absolute play out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blueprint of the world and of the story. Yes, okay, they made him, they seem to be held accountable for the fact that they took shoes and therefore took money for the Mechiros as well. But the bottom line is, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the show. And a person goes through this past week, and Baruch Hashem, I really did not spend time reading the news or watching the news, but of course, all I have to do is just listen into other people's conversations to find out, or listen to the radio for literally a few minutes to find out, the hoopla and whatever else you call it, what's going on. But a person has to understand, and a person has to really internalize the nekuda that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's mashkiach al kol alam kulo, we say Elokeinu. We say Hashem's name, we say Adon HaKol, he's the master of everything, he was, is, and will be. And we say Elokeinu, he's Baal HaKochos Gedolos, which means he's the Almighty, umashkiach al kol olam kulo. When we say Elokeinu, we basically are stating that he supervises, right, kol haolam kulo, the entire world. So the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world last week, he's running the world today, he's running the world tomorrow. So we can sit here and we can spend our time and our energy discussing what's going to be, who's going to be, what's he saying, what's he not saying. But honestly, it's totally irrelevant. If there's any major lesson from this, it happens to be this six parasha is emuna pshuta, emuna in the most clearest way. Look at this story. It's all Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating everything to come down to Mitzrayim, which is going to get us into Mitzrayim, which is going to prepare us for Muhammad Har Sinai, which is going to prepare us to come to Eretz Yisrael. So often we get caught up with what's going on in the world. We forget, oh gosh, oh, hold on a second, Hashem in the world, he's running the show. I'm saying these are all human beings. The Americans say this, and the Palestinians say this. Hello, guys. Like, they're human beings. They can say what they want. They can do what they want. Things, Mr. Shem, Leon, everybody should be safe and nothing should happen. But a person has to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating and doing, pulling every little string behind the scenes. So what should we do? So it sounds like to me, on the contrary, this is a beautiful, beautiful wake-up call for us. Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, nothing has happened yet, and hopefully nothing will happen, Be'ezus Hashem. So all this hoopla, or hullabaloo, whatever you want to call it, all this rhetoric, or all this talk, should be the perfect wake-up call to be Ma'ir and Shuva, to do better. Right? Usually, Chas V'Shalom, something has to happen to wake us up to do something better. But now is the perfect situation. Nothing happened yet. It's all talk. So now is a great, it's a safe, and it's a safe message. Instead of Chas V'Shalom having to endure a harsh message to wake us up, a safe message to wake us up. Rabbi Yisai, this is what everybody's talking about. Hashem is, I think it's a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's giving us a very strong message without it being painful. This is great. Mitzvah Shem should not be painful. Mitzvah Shem should get the message. But I think instead of being caught up with what's going to be? Hashem's sending me a message that this could happen. Well, we all know that we exist via Nisim Anyway, I mean, I'll just tell you a story that I told you here yesterday. Rav Shteinman Shlita, you should have Arichas Yom Shana, Admeh Ves Mishana. Right, last year, I remember that he was also not well. He was in the hospital, and there was a story that the doctor came in and said, you know, you're living, you know, through miracles. You're living because of miracles. And Rav Shteinman turned to the doctor and said, you're also living by miracles. I'm saying, well, look, what's the difference? Like, because he's 102 and he's 65, so he's not living miracles. We're all living miracles. Our whole existence in Eretz Yisrael is a miracle every single second that we're here. So they're saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. What do you mean? Yesterday was anyway a miracle. Today's more of a miracle than yesterday? No, yesterday's also a massive miracle. But I think a person has to understand that first and foremost, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Who's Mashkiach HaKol Olam Kulo? And then we hear things, certainly rhetoric and this and that. It's just to give us a nice, pleasant wake-up call to learn a little bit more. And as I said, those of you that are at the Bris, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, they asked the real Elazar, Ma yaseh v'yinosel mi'chevli Mashiach. What should a person do to be saved from the birth pangs of Mashiach? It's a very relatively simple recipe. Yasuk v'torah v'mitzvos. Toil in Torah and mitzvos. So that's our job. What else are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and figure out what's going to be in the news and politically, like, that's going to help? No, two things. Yasuk v'torah v'mitzvos. Very interesting. I saw it brought down from the Sivas HaKodesh. She says, I don't understand. We say on the Yom Nerun, we say, Tshuva u'tfila u'tzdaka, ma'avir esroa gzera. If there's any evil decrees, all we got to do is tshuva, tfila, and tzdaka. So where did the Gemara come up with this idea of yasak b'tarev mitzvahs? So if I remember correctly, I think what he said was no. That's for gzera. But Chevim Mashiach is on a different level. The only way to be notzim is Chevim Mashiach is taka, to be oisik in Torah, to toil in Torah, not just stam. I'm not saying tshuva, tfila, tzdaka, and stam, but to really toil in Torah and really toil in chesed. That is going to save us from the birth pangs of Mashiach. And I think certainly the more we open our eyes, the more we realize the Kodesh Baruch Hu is involved in the klal and in the prat. And as Hashem is mizelch to the gula shlema, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is shomer Yisrael, shomer Yisrael, v'ayu Yisrael, v'ayim Shema Yisrael. Have a great Shabbos.